of God reads, "Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written.' Then you will not take pride in one man over another." My topic this morning is, do not go beyond what is written. Paul says, do not go beyond what is written. What is written in Scripture? All who have a Bible, why don't you raise your Bible up, please? Let me see you. A Bible count. That's it. We got a Bible count, not a cell phone count. No, I'm just playing. I know what you're doing with the cell phone. Not cell phones, a Bible. For electronics and took over the world, amen? I tell you, it's convenience, huh? Amen. But we all have the Word of God. And Paul is saying, do not go beyond what is written in the Word of God. The problem with the world today, from a religious standpoint, is man has went beyond what the Word of God says. Man decided to do what they want to do, and they have left the Bible alone and started adding to it. Well, newsflash, there's a warning for that. In the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible, God warns us about doing this. He says in Deuteronomy 4:2, to do not add to the word, or do not take away from it. And then he tells us again in Revelations 22:19, not to add to God's words and not to take away from it. We have to stick to Scriptures, church. It has to be book, Bible, and verse. And if you are a member of a church that's not teaching book, Bible, and verse, then you're in the wrong church. Paul says, do not go beyond what is written. Now, in the text, in dealing with the Corinthians' brethren's tendency to render judgment upon one another based on the wisdom of man, Paul gives a basic principle that needs to be heeded today more than ever before. And that principle is, do not go beyond what is written in the Bible. Now, the need for this principle is seen in a greater division in the religious world today. Now, this principle implies two things. One is that God's written word is final on all matters and teaching. God's word is it. If it's not in the Bible, then we don't do it. God's word is final. John says in John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth." So I saw all the hands went up when we had a Bible. That's the truth. But we got to stick to it. We can't go beyond what the Scripture says. And the second thing the principle implies is this, is that the wisdom of man is insufficient. You see, man today think he is smart as God. Man want to be wiser than God. So that's why he started adding to what the Bible says and putting things in there. But Jeremiah warns us. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, "It's not for man to direct his own path." See, we can't direct our own path. We got to depend on God to lead us and direct our path. Now, sometimes we want to go where we feel like going or what we think is right. Proverbs 16:25 says that there's a way that seems right to man, but it leads to destruction. So sometimes things may feel right. You ever been somewhere and you heard some doctrine and it feels right? Or it sounds good and you want to go with it. But you got to make sure that it's book, Bible, and verse. Do not go beyond what is written. Now, to understand why we must not go beyond what is written in the Holy Word, we have to understand three things. We have to understand the nature of what is written. We have to understand the effects of going beyond what is written. Let me tell you, church, there's some consequences and repercussion for not abiding in the Scripture, for doing whatever you want to do. We have to understand that. But we also have to understand this third thing, and that is the rewards for not going beyond what is written. If we stick to the Bible and only the Bible, then there's a great reward for each and every one of us. Now, just for a short period of time, I want to touch on those three things, and then my lesson is yours. Don't go beyond what is written, because the first thing is because of the nature of what is written. And that is, who is written by? Who wrote it? Because what is written in the Word of God is written by God. This Bible here and everything in it, in your phone, if it's the Word of God, it's from God. God didn't physically write the Bible. He had men write it. But he told them what to write. They didn't write what they wanted to write. The Word of God is from God himself, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:37. He says, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's commandment. Paul said he ain't writing this but based on how he feel or what he think. It's come from God. Now, a lot of times, and I must add this, that folks don't want to hear doctrine sermons like this. Because this is a sermon to teach you about the truth. But from time to time, we need to know what's right and we need to know what's wrong. We need to know right from wrong in order to obey it. You need to hear the truth. And then after the end of this lesson, it's up to you to obey it. But the Word of God is from God. It's inspired by God. We can believe it. We can trust it. That's one of the reasons why we stick to book, Bible, and verse at Crescent City Church of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says that all scriptures is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. The Bible says that all scriptures is inspired by God, that it comes from God. The word comes from God himself. How dare man to change this thing up? This is from God. Now, even though men have wrote it, but they were inspired by God. The Holy Spirit led them along to what to say. Therefore, we can believe the Bible. And we don't have to add anything to it because God is perfect. He knows more than us. We can believe what's in it, and we need to stick only to the Word of God. Now, y'all looking at me like, well, who does it? I mean, I'm thinking everybody would stick to the Word of God or to whatever God says. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not true. You see, since the beginning of time, people have been going too far. Bible says in 2 John 9, it says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Right. See, some folks run ahead. They go too far. They add things that God didn't say. Go with me to Leviticus 10. Let me show you an example. I'm going to give you one or two examples so we can all be on the same page. Leviticus, Old Testament, 10. I want to show you that since the beginning of time, people haven't been obeying God and been doing what they want to say. God will tell you to do one thing, but you'll do something else. You go too far. In Leviticus 10, right around verse 1, the Bible says, Aaron, sons of Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and they added incense, and they offered an unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his commandment. Y'all see that? What these guys did. Now, these guys was priests. Priests back then was like a preacher. These were godly men. The Bible says they went to worship God. That's what they were doing back then. That's how they worshiped God. They went to worship God. But what they did is they added an unauthorized a fire before the Lord. God never said you can have that in worship service. So what they did with God, they went too far. And listen to what happened to them. The Bible says in verse 2, so fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died right there. God ain't playing. He wasn't playing then. In church, he's not playing today. Now, you may not physically die if you go too far because of grace and mercy that we under today, but you separate yourself from God. You die spiritually. And when you die spiritually, you separate yourself from God. God is here and you is here. And then when you sin again, God is here and you. You steady moving yourself away from God when we can constantly sin. So these priests, men of God, they went too far. I guess they assumed that what they were doing was better, that their way of worshiping God was better. But God has prescribed a specific way for us to worship him. Man. And we have to worship him that way. We have to do what the Bible said, what God has said. They went too far. In the churches today, these denominational churches, a lot of them go too far. Say amen if you can. Amen. Let me show you. We still not convinced. Let me give you another example. In 1 Kings 12, right around verse 28. I want to show you book, Bible, and verse so you won't think Brother Ivory is making this up. In 1 Kings chapter 12, right around verse 28, we have another example of a king who went too far. In 1 Kings chapter 12 and 28, the Bible says, after seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. Now, before I go even further, I have to explain this. That back then, all the Jewish men were required to travel to the temple three times each year to worship God. Now, the temple was located in Jerusalem. That was the central point for worshiping. And anybody who was a child of God had to travel to Jerusalem to worship. But we're going to see the king change this up. In 1 Kings chapter 12 and 28, the Bible says, after seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. That's his first mistake, because he made golden calves, and he made them as gods. They were supposed to be gods. The king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Here are your gods. Y'all see the second mistake? Now he's saying it's to Jerusalem too far. I know God says we need to worship in Jerusalem, but guess what? That's too far. God will be okay because our hearts is right. We're not going to go to Jerusalem. So first he made two fake gods, and then he changed the place of worship. He says, we're not going to go to Jerusalem. He says, here are your gods. One calf here, one here. He told them, this is your gods now. O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. He says that these two golden calves are the God that brought them out of Egypt. Y'all know that's not true. It's God the Father who brought them out of Egypt, not these golden calves that they made with their hand. Third mistake he made. And then he says in verse 29, one he set up in Bethel and the other in Dan. He set one in Bethel. So he told them that they can go to Bethel and worship. And then he told them that they can go to Dan because Jerusalem was too far. But God said that they had to go to Jerusalem to worship him. Right. They couldn't go wherever they wanted to go. But he went too far. And the Bible says in verse 30, listen to this. It says, this thing became a sin. What thing? He's changing God's worship. He's changing the place of worship. This thing is a sin. You can't just do whatever you want to do when it comes to spiritual matters. It has to be book, Bible, and verse. Man. And if it's not, God is not pleased with it, and that thing is a sin. I'm going to let that soak in a minute. Because see, in the world today, people want to tell you can call yourself anything in the religious world. You can worship anywhere as long as your heart is right. But that's not true. I'm pretty sure that these two priests who was killed, that they thought that they was doing what was right, that they had good intentions, but they didn't stick to God's word. They went too far. Not only did King Jeroboam change the place of worship, he changed the day. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they weren't Levites. He even appointed people priests who shouldn't have been priests. Only the Levites were supposed to be priests back there. And he appointed them priests. I'm good. And he appointed them priests. And then the Bible says he instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month. He even changed the day that they were supposed to worship God. Do we have things like that going on today? Of course we do. We have people who worship on Saturday. The Lord's Day is on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. But y'all know we have the Seventh-day Adventists would teach you that they worship on Saturday. We have folks that take the Lord's Supper once a year. The Jehovah's Witness, no offense to anyone who is, but the Jehovah's Witness take the Lord's Supper once a year. The Word of God says that if you're a Christian, you have to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. What happened is people are going too far. People won't make the worship service fit them. Customize it. Y'all know what we do with everything. And that's what they're doing with the Lord's worship. So they're going too far. Jesus says in Matthew 15 and 9, Jesus says that they worship me in vain, teaching things that is taught by man. You know, if you are following some false doctrine today, and if it's not in the Bible, then your worship can be in vain. Do you realize that? You can be going to church every Sunday, but if you're participating in things that's not scriptural, then the Bible says that you're worshiping in vain. You're there for no reason at all. Newsflash, and I got to throw this one in here. Your worship can be in vain this morning, even here. if your heart is not right. You see, the Bible tells us to worship God in spirit and in truth. The truth is what I'm talking about with the Bible, that it has to come from Scripture. But spirit means your heart got to be right. You got to be here for the right reason. You can't be here for your brother, your sister, or your spouse. You got to be here because you truly want to worship God. You want to give Him all the glory, all the honor. If not, then your worship is in vain. So the first thing we see that the word of God is from God. It's Him, it's God who wrote the word. It's Him who created the Bible. So we need to stick to the scriptures and don't go beyond it, because the word is from God and we can trust it and we can believe it. The second thing is this: don't go beyond what is written because of the effects of going beyond it. I've already showed you that the priest, what happened to him, those two priests was killed right there on the spot. If you and I decided to do whatever we want to do in the church, the same can happen to us. We may not die on the spot, but heaven would never be our home. Let me give you a biblical example. Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Let's see, chapter 6. 2 Samuel. I think it's right around chapter 6. Is where we're going to be. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, what was going on here? I have to explain this. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, first of all, you need to know that in the book of Numbers, God commanded that the ark of God was to be moved only by the Levites. They were the only one that was ordered by God to move the ark of God. They were to carry this ark. But they couldn't touch it. They had to carry it with carrying poles. So the ark of God was this big chest, big box that the Israelite made, that God told them to make. And when they carried the ark of God, they had a pole. And one man would hold one side of the pole, and the other man would hold the other side of the pole. And so there was transporting the ark of God. And listen to what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says that David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. And he and all his men set out for Baal of Judah to bring up from them their ark of God. Now let's see. Which is called by the name of the Lord God Almighty, who's enthroned between cherubim. Verse 3. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house. So you see, they put it on a cart and they brought it from the house of Abadat, which was on a hill. Now, Uzziah and Ahio, sons of Abiathar, were guiding a new ark with the ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of this ark. And David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs. And when they came to the threshing floor, Uzziah reached out and he took hold of the ark of God. Because you see, the ark of God was, I guess it was tied to this oxen. And the oxen was about to fall. And so the ark was about to hit the ground. So Ahio, this man, he didn't want the ark of God, this sacred thing, to fall and hit the ground. So what he did, you can see it in the scripture, as he grabbed the ark to keep it from falling. You know, he wanted to protect it. I guess he thought he was doing the right thing. But if you continue to read, the Bible says the Lord's anger burned against him because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and killed him right then and there. Now, some of you may be saying, well, wow, I thought we serve a merciful God. Why would God kill this man? The only thing he was trying to do was to protect the ark from falling. Let me tell you this, church. God don't need our protection. We need his protection. Amen? Amen. God can protect that ark. God has given strict rules for no man to touch the ark. And his irreverent behavior, that word means he was disrespectful to God. You know, whenever we do things that is outside of Scripture, then you're disrespecting God, authority. He gives the authority. We can't do what we want to do. The word of God comes from God, and he expects us to abide in it to the T. Not just a little bit, but to the T. This man was killed on the spot. And again, I may add that you may not die instantly. I don't know. God can kill us instantly. He can do what he want to do. He's God. But you sure enough would die spiritually if you continue to disobey God. So there's some effects. There's some bad effects and consequences for going beyond what is written in the scripture. Another thing is you need to remember is this. Is that Going beyond the scripture is going beyond the authority of Christ. Matthew 28:18 says that Jesus have all authority in heaven and on earth, and it has been given to him. So what Jesus says in the scripture is what we should follow. Imagine if you wrote the Bible and you wanted your church to be a certain way, and then here come Brother Ivy. He won't change things around.
No.
Would you be pleased with it?
No.
Surely not. So who are us to change the way we do things in God's house? And you know the first thing people of the world will tell you? Well, it doesn't matter where you go worship. It doesn't matter as long as your heart is right. Your heart can't be right if you're not obeying God.
Yeah.
Your heart is wrong. You're doing what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. So there's some consequences and repercussion for not sticking to the scripture. Stick to the scripture, church, and only the scripture. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. And then check the scripture out for yourself. We was talking about that in Bible study this morning. You need to search scripture. You need to make sure that what I'm saying is true. I can be up here telling you something that's not even fact. If you don't know yourself, you gotta check yourself. Check me out. I don't mind. Straighten me out if I'm wrong. But you need to check the scripture out for yourself. The third thing is this. We should not go beyond what is written because of the rewards. Now we want to hear that. Y'all know if we stick to scripture, we stick to book, Bible, and verse, then there's a reward for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Let me show you another example. Go with me to the book of Kings. In Kings, and I'm going to move fast here because I need to come to a close. In 2 Kings, chapter 18. 2 Kings. I believe it's chapter 18, right around verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 18, right around verse 1. There was a king by the name of Hezekiah. This was a great king. He did good in the eyesight of the Lord, and God blessed him because he stuck to the word. God told him what to do, and guess what? He did what God told him to do. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible said, in the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to region. He was 25 years old when he became king. And he regioned in Jerusalem 29 years. Now, the Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David did. He removed the high places, smashes the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Hezekiah, the Bible says in verse 5, trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commandments of the Lord. Y'all see that? This man here kept God's commandment. He did what was written, and he kept to it. And God was pleased with him, and God showed him favor. What we learn from that is God will show us the same favor if we do what God tells us to do. If we don't add to the scriptures or take away, God will be with you as well and me. But we can't add to it. We can't go beyond what is written. If we don't, we all, heaven can be all of our home. God want to make a Jesus says in John chapter 14 that he went to prepare a place for each and every one of us. Heaven is big enough for all of us, but it's up to us to get there.
Right.
And we get there by obeying God. That's the first one. We have to obey him and keep his commandments and do not go beyond what the scripture is saying. As I wrap this lesson up, this principle, obey it, not going beyond what is written, would stop all this apostate activities in the church, all this false stuff that's going on in the church. Let me tell you, if we stick to the scriptures and only the scriptures, then there'll be no more instrumental music in the church. I'm going to let that one sink in too. There'll be no more instrumental music in the church. You see, the word of God never authorized instrumental music in the church. If this is your first time here and you're wondering why we don't have a organ or a guitar, it's because God never authorized that in the church.
Amen.
Somebody will say, Brother Ivory, well, they did worship like that back in the Old Testament time. And you're right, but that wasn't the church.
Right.
The church didn't get started to Acts 2 and 38 on the day of Pentecost. And nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the New Testament, you will find where God has authorized us to have instruments in the church. You know, we worship the same God, but the way we worship God today is different than the way they worshiped God back over 2,000 years ago. Back in the days, they used to have to offer burnt offering and sacrifice. We don't have to do that anymore. Back in the days, if you had a disobedient child, you could stone that child to death. How many of you sometimes have a disobedient child? Sometimes that child will get the Bible says you'll stone them to death. You throw bricks at it. Sometimes that happens. But look, we under a mercy and grace now. So we under a better covenant. But God never authorized for there to be instrumental music in the church. I agree. Somebody was saying that if maybe we get a good piano player or something in here, we probably have 30, 40 more people in here. And you're right. And I would love to do it. But God don't want it in here. Matter of fact, let me give you a few scriptures. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves from psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. The Bible can constantly tell us to sing. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing a songs. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Too many scriptures tells us to sing. Look that word up in your dictionary. Singing means a cappella, with your mouth, not with the instrument. God says we need to sing. So if we just kept to the scripture, then we wouldn't have no instrumental music in the church. Why we have instrumental music in the church is because they went too far. They went a little too far, church. Let me give you another one. How about these women preachers? Y'all know y'all got some women that call themselves pastors, huh? One lady told me that she preached now because all the men are in jail. All the black men are going to jail, so she got to step up. Let God know. God knows what's going on here. God is still in control. God has never authorized a woman to be a preacher in his church. I'm sorry, ladies, but God has never authorized that. A matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 11, and you can see it for yourself, read it at your own convenience. 1 Corinthians 11, God gives us the order of the church in the home. He says, first is God, then is Jesus, the Son, then is man, and then is woman. I'm sorry, that's God's order, that's not mine. And that same order is in the church. In the Bible, tells us over in 1 Timothy 2:11 that a woman is not to usurp authority over a man. That word usurp means that she should not have authority over a man when a man is present. So if a man is present in worship, then a woman shouldn't have authority over that. And then he tells us why in that same text. He says it was Eve who was misled, not Adam. So God has a way of doing things, and God said it his way for a reason. Now, I've been teaching on Wednesdays that a woman is valuable to the church. Now, don't get it mistaken, brothers. We need the women in the church. We need the women in the church more than ever before. But every one of us needs to know our role. We all have a role in the church, and women are not to usurp authority over a man. If you're worshiping at a church and they have women that's over men, then you what? You went too far. You went a little too far. God did not authorize that. Let me give you one more. How about same-sex marriages? God never authorized same-sex marriages. That came from man. Y'all know we have denominational churches that okay with same-sex marriages? There's a Presbyterian denomination. Y'all familiar with that, right? The Presbyterian? Well, let me tell you what they did. One Thursday, they changed the definition of marriage. This is what they said. I read it on the internet myself. They decided to change the definition of marriage and allow its pastors to officiate same-sex ceremonies in states where gay marriages is legal. Who gave them the right to change the definition of marriage? God ordained marriage. It comes from God, not man. They changed it. And let me tell you this. They voted They said that 429 to 175 of their leaders, they voted that they would change it and that they would make it okay for same-sex marriages. And let me tell you, there's 1.76 million Presbyterian members. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that are misled, that are going the wrong way. What did they do? They went too far, right? Oh, y'all quiet on me now. They went too far. God is not pleased when we go too far. We have to stick to scripture, book, Bible, and verse. We are here at Crescent City. We pride ourselves on sticking to scriptures and only scriptures. We're not going to preach and teach what we feel. We got to preach and teach only what God tells us to do. But sometimes even us as Christians, and I'm closing, even us as Christians, we mess up too, right? Sometimes Christians, the Church of Christ, we go too far. Let me give you one or two. How about this thing with God Father and God Mother? Oh, y'all may throw something at me now. God, you can't find a scripture alive that allow you to call yourself a God Father or God Mother. God is his name, not your name or my name. Now, I understand the principle, and it's a good principle. You want to take care of the child in the event something happened to you, but who gave you the right to call yourself a God? And why it has to be a God Father or a God Mother? You done went too far. That's not, y'all quiet on that one, boy. I know we got a lot of so-called God mothers and fathers. You done went too far. That's not biblical. I'll be happy to discuss that with anybody after church. You show me scripture that allows you to call yourself a God. Nobody, no man or woman can call himself a God and think God will be pleased with it. Let me give you one more, and then I'm going to rest my case. The Church of Christ, what we like to do is when you sin, what they say, I'm going to sit you down. God don't sit nobody down when they sin. There is such a thing as church discipline. But when you sin and there's some church discipline that needs to happen, God restore you. He don't sit you down. The whole objective is to keep you up and going, get you to admit your sin. We are to forgive you and keep you going, not to sit you down. It's been taught in our brotherhood that when a person, he needs to sit down, oh, he's not worried. You're not worried, because all of us sin. All of us fall short. But what makes you think you can say who's worthy and who's not? Because you went too far. I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to come. We can't go. Y'all think y'all get the point here. We can't go too far. We got to stick with book, Bible, and verse. That's my lesson. My lesson is clear. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, you haven't been baptized into the body of Christ according to the scripture. Maybe you've been baptized already, but not according to the scripture. Maybe you've been baptized in somebody else's baptism. I spoke about that this morning, too. Maybe you're a Baptist or a Catholic or some other faith that you've been baptized in. Then you need to be baptized correctly this morning into the body of Christ, amen, which is the Church of Christ. What do you mean I have to be baptized over? There's an example there as well. In Acts 19:2, Paul was speaking. Paul asked the believers, he asked them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard of this Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? And they told him John's baptism. They thought they were okay. They was baptized into John's baptism. So Paul says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, he told the people. And John told the people to believe in the one coming after you. That was Jesus. Now, upon hearing this, the people were baptized in the name of the Lord.
Right.
The point here is that the people had to be rebaptized. Why? Because they were baptized in the wrong baptism, in the wrong faith, in the wrong church. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. Just don't add up. Right. You got to be taught right and baptized right.
Amen.
So as I close, what is it I need to know to be saved this morning? Well, the plan of salvation is simple, and that same plan is for each and every one of us. That plan is this. First, you have to hear the word of God.
Right.
Romans 10:17 says that faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What is the gospel of Christ? What is the word of God? It's simple. It's that Jesus died on the cross, and on the third day he was raised. By the grace of God, he never died again. And that same power that rose Jesus up on the third day is available for you and I this morning if we believe. That's the gospel. But we have to believe it. Hebrews 11:6 is the next step. It says that we have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You got to believe this morning. You got to believe the scriptures and what God says in the scriptures. And then the Bible says in Luke 13:3, now is the time for you to change your life around. I know you're tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of living in sin and messing up. Now it's time to get it right. Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent this morning, ask God to forgive you, start your new this morning, then you will likewise perish. Then once after you repent, then there's confession. Why are we confessing? Confession is simply acknowledging. Acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he can save your soul. Not some man or whoever you idol, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus says, unless you confess him before man this morning, then he will not confess you before God. And I don't want to be there and God doesn't, and Jesus don't confess me before Lord. Then you're out on your own. And then finally, we'll baptize you this morning. We'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? For the remission of your sins. So everything that you did last night, last week, all that stuff will be put away, washed away with. Now, some family members won't forget it, right? They're going to bring it up every now and then. Some friends still going to hold it against you, but who cares? So, Lord, God forgive you, because that's what you're trying to please first. God, not man, not family, but God. God will wash all your sins away. You go down, you die to sins, and rise up a new person. And then you receive the gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the most important part of worship service. That is the response. A lot of folks can't wait to this point. I know I was that way at one time. I couldn't wait to the response because I know service was coming to an end. All right, we can go. But this is the time when you have to make a decision. If you're not a child of God this morning, become a Christian according to the Bible. You may have been baptized, but not according to the scripture. Do the right thing this morning, and then God will save your soul and make you whole. Revelation 2:10 says that if we're faithful to the day we die, faithful in church attendance. Don't get baptized now and then don't come back no more. That's not being faithful.
Right.
Faithful in study. Faithful in giving. Faithful in everything you do. Then when you die, heaven will be your home. That's where we headed. Heaven can be your home this morning. If you're already a Christian and you fell by the wayside, as I was preaching last week, sometimes that happens, right? This world. Boy, this world is tough. Temptation is everywhere. You may have stumbled. Get back up. Ask God to forgive you. Get back in this race. You can win it. We want to say like Paul. When Paul finished up, Paul said, I finished the race. Now it was set up for me, was stored for me. It's having a crown of righteousness. That's what we want to say. You can say it this morning. You can come on either category as we stand and sing the invitation song.